Hey, this is Jody T. Pratt. I wrote a book, Midnight Snacks or Dark Collection, 13 Disturbing Tales of the Misfortune. If you like the bizarre and all things dark, and you love this show, you'll love this. Midnight Snacks or Dark Collection on Amazon right now. The link will be in the description. On with the show. Lights, camera, action. Welcome to the Scrapbook Podcast, Director's Cut. And welcome back to the Scrapbook Podcast, Director's Cut. I'm your host, Jody Pratt, with my special guest.
Sunflower's back.
She's back. Oh my God, y'all. Okay, so as of recent, so I am a published author now. Published and self-published, right? And I tried to, you know, before I got up, by the way, get your work, anything you wrote, edited by somebody that's not you or somebody that you know. They'll be brutal. They'll fix everything you want. Continuity issues, there's many different types of editing.
Oh, yeah.
But you want developmental editing and copy editing, for sure, right? And then get it beta read, obviously. But I try to skip that before I got everything copywritten. And just tried to be like, yo, here's my stuff for this anthology or for your website or something like that. And all of them got smushed besides Blueberry Pie, which is, I feel like it was just good storytelling.
I wouldn't say that it got crushed first off.
Well, I mean, but it was quickly like a no. But the most important one are these that we're going to write, read today. It's going to be a couple episodes of this. I'll do one per director's cut. Mm-hmm. But they were drabbles, right? 100-word stories. And I thought they were fucking great.
I as well.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the guy was like, who denied him, he was like, these don't have emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like...
Oh, you know what? I remember all of that because it's like, but you're so much more of a developed writer now. You
absolutely, yeah. But I feel like so we're going to develop these 100, these three 100 word stories into something bigger. But I like these so much, especially one that has to do with like a werewolf or whatever. But don't mind my dog. But it's so like you. Don't worry if somebody denies what you give them, mm-hmm. or rejects it, I should say, because it's a perfect storm kind of thing. It's how they're feeling that day. It's
how they understand it as well. It is a very important thing to have your stories read, maybe possibly by a person of color, if it's all going to be people of color or... different practices and things like that. Because not everyone's going to understand that.
Yeah, and just know that if it's humor not too. Written for that person that is beta reading, then you'll have a harder time feeling like you know your niche.
Yeah.
Like, mine goes in and out of black horror and black dark fiction, black thriller, black suspense. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. But it can also be taken as just regular stuff. But at the same time, I put it in that niche because I'm trying to make it not a niche. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
normalized.
It normalized. Quote unquote. Having a white hero is a normal thing.
Yeah.
It's a that should you don't even think two times about it. A nigga in a cape. A white guy in a cape. But if you see a black guy in a cape, you're like, whoa, what is this? It has to be specialized. It's not a specialized thing. It's a normal fucking thing. That's what I'm trying to get across. But these don't even have a person of color. That was just, you know, if you're giving yourself read, make sure that it's by people that is for, first of all.
Audience.
And a person of color. If you're a Spanish person, writing about a Spanish person, have a Spanish person edit that specializes in that. Otherwise, you'll get a bunch of edits and critiques that aren't supposed to be there. But okay, but anyway, we'll start with one story, and then Sunflower's going to read it. I'm, of course, going to be like, yo, this shit is dope as fuck. But anyway, she's going to read it, and then we're going to develop it into something more. If not, I'll just, you know, have a tangent on it or whatever. But yeah.
Okay. The room settled into a kind of thick, anticipatory static that made one do forgotten, anxious habits. Click. All 14 of us, too exhausted to be outaged, our bellies instead conversate amongst each other. I say we do them both, one said. One more miss, I'll gut them where they stand, another shouted. Hear, hear, agreed the rest in gurgling rumbles. The room settled into a silent friction. Click. Two men who sat at the table that centered the spectacle began to smile shyly at one another. The room settled. Pop. One man falls and the empty bellies rejoice. Meat.
Tell me that shit is not hard, bro.
That one was my favorite out of the three.
So hear me now. That has no emotion, this person said. Maybe I should place my words a little bit different. So pretty much what's going on is a bunch of people are together. It's maybe I should have led it with a little bit more post-apocalyptic kind of feel, but it's 16 people in the room. Two are doing Russian roulette, which is one bullet in a revolver, and you click at yourself until you hear a pop, or the person won't hear a pop until you one gets shot, right?
After you spin the barrel.
Exactly. So every person, so the people are all quiet, but who's talking in it are the bellies. Mm-hmm. The rumbling bellies is like, ah, let's gut them. Let's, you know what I mean? If they miss the next time, I'm going to fucking kill them myself.
Right.
Selfishness and stuff like that. Although they are doing a brave thing in choosing. They even smile at one another. The contestants in this, to be like, whew, nigga, that was, that, I thought it was going to be over with. You know what I mean?
That was a close one, yep.
But instead, you know, they smile and at the end, the resolution is, you know, one of them gets killed.
Yeah,
the bull. And then everybody, someone. Exactly. And everybody's just like, oh, thank God, meat, finally. You know, then they eat him. You know, it's a cannibalistic type of story. I was thinking, like, obviously post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
I see them living like under a village, under a, like in the basement of like a fucking mall or some shit.
Yeah.
And obviously there's no more food. Everybody's in tattered clothes. There's like a single light hanging in the middle of this room and a table that's like smeared in blood. Mm-hmm. And half broken. And there's two chairs at each end of them. People are circling them.
Okay.
Like ready. Some of them, like the cook, is like they're ready to fucking go. You know.
That sounds like a scene in hell.
Yeah. And they, the contestants maybe, maybe it's like in this society they have demerits, right? If you don't, like it's very, very strict. You don't clean up, you don't do something, you get one demerit.
Mm-hmm.
The person at the end of each month that has the most demerits has to sit at the table to do the roulette. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Yeah.
And to trust the person, like maybe the person who, how would you trust somebody in that certain time? You know what I'm saying? Trust somebody with the gun. Trust somebody with, maybe it's a, one of those. Can you take that with me? Maybe it's one of those things where it takes like three keys to open a certain thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One of those boxes. But if I don't have a key, I can't get through this level. I have the key to the last level kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bullets as well. Because somebody could easily take over. Maybe it's in a fragile state where that the person who has who's sitting in the middle,
yeah,
could just turn the gun on everybody. You know what I'm saying? They could just waste a nigga and then be like, I'm in charge now. There's no more of this. You know what I mean? But we'll see.
In that. You know what I pictured while reading? I pictured a group of people, the 16, in a circle. And then I also pictured the tattered clothing, things like that. So I guess I was on the same thing with apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic. The lighting, I saw that. But I also saw them passing the gun around to themselves.
Oh.
In like a ring around the rosy type thing.
Yeah.
And then now that you're saying that there's one person who's like a successor in a sense, while you were saying all of that, I thought maybe they were just singled out. They don't have to participate. One, that, or everyone else lined up while they held the gun and had to click while they just rotated in front of them.
Mm.
Those were the two scenarios that popped into my head.
Right. I like that, actually. I like that. Goddamn.
It's a different perspective, I guess, too.
Yeah, maybe I should be clearer in like how I'm doing it. So I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this, and then you won't see it anything else but what I'm telling you. But then again, that's not good storytelling.
No, but the thing is, also, that was just what was going through my head. We have the same similar,
yeah,
like, nuances. So it's your story. If it's supposed to be interpreted one way, by all means, explain.
Yeah. But honestly, this is why I'm doing it on here, because I'm just like, nah.
Maybe it can change. It goes back and forth between.
There's another one in there that's like, I'm just like, yeah, fuck it. I want to do this.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I want to write this out. But I have such a problem writing and staying focused on finishing one thing all the way through. Usually after the second draft, I'm just like, all right, I can make something else now. I'm going to write something else now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. But I feel like that's good. That's cool.
Yeah. I that was one of my favorite stories.
I don't even have a name for that shit.
That you wrote.
Yeah.
That's
maybe whenever I make a series, I'll have that as a short story, like a episode, like a little.
There's a lot of, you can go either backwards or forwards that story and make it into a novelette or something.
Yeah, that's very true.
It has a lot of potential to grow literally in different areas of
but
it.
I want to make it something special.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of post-apocalyptic things that are out of the fucking pack.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, you read The Road.
Yeah.
I read I Am Legend. Like, that shit is, bro. You can get, I haven't read World War Z, but I know for sure that shit is
fine.
I love the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But then again, that doesn't even equate sometimes. But anyway, I'm Jody Pratt with my special guest.
Sunflower.
And this was, you know, something sweet, something different for you guys.
Short
tell me
sweet.
If you like it or not. I got a bunch of little stuff that I've wrote. Maybe turn it into something bigger. But yeah, don't stop being creative. We love you. Peace.
Adios.